Taking a little bit of time here. I am very aware of what the time is, although it seems like the clock is missing. Somebody is treading very dangerously. I bet that clock will be returned so quickly. I have one here, so don't be alarmed. It doesn't have an alarm, but I want to remind you, we've got prayer tomorrow night, and in this season, there's a lot of great things happening as kids get ready to get back to school. All your parents say, hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
That's right. And all you teachers, we got a lot of educators here. You just say, help me, Jesus! And so we want you to know that tomorrow we'll be covering you with prayer. And then that happens from 7 to 8 in the chapel. We park around the back, use the chapel entrance. Anybody can come. Come just casual, right from work or whatever, and just help us pray. And then 2 weeks from today, Sunday morning, we'll be receiving communion. And we will be praying for all of our educators and for our school children and students heading back to school. You notice in the foyer there is a school supply drive. There are children and young people in our neighborhoods and communities that are not able to put together some of the basic supplies. And this extends beyond our church family. In fact, these resources are used first for those in the community that are lacking. And then if there's any left over, we certainly want to help ourselves. But it's good to be thinking about something other than yourself. Amen. So if you want to bring some supplies, as you're getting some supplies for your own students, there are some. There's a bin out there where you can get some supplies for other students. Also want to remind you that this is unfortunate that I feel so good about this, but our annual church picnic has finally come around again. And it is one of the highlights of the year for me and my stomach, because some of you are so gifted. You bring enough food for you, your family, and everybody. And there's a brochure out there, a little flyer. We want everybody to be a part of that. Everybody's welcome, September 11th. And then the men's conference. This is all in your bulletin, as was mentioned. This is there, too. You want to be a part of. You're a man connected with this church. You don't want to miss men's conference. It's going to be great. Sister Sylvia, we're praying for your family. Joel and Sylvia and your family. I was amazed at the way your father was honored yesterday. What a tremendous man for God. And so please know that we're holding you up in prayer and trusting the Lord for his hand. Thank you for those that were able to get over there to that funeral. A tremendous tribute to that family. Also, of course, I see some of Pamela's family here, and we honor you folks, and we're praying for you. Been praying for you every day this week personally, that God would encourage you, strengthen you. And we trust the Lord is doing that. Amen. Thank God for that. Why don't you stand in honor of the word of the Lord? I'd like to direct your attention to the book of Luke, chapter number 11. That picture of the church is so if you get drunk in the Holy Ghost and you leave here today and you're not sure where you're at or where you're going, you can show that picture to anybody on the street. They'll get you back here and we'll help you get home. But I also want to use that picture for something else, so keep it handy. Luke chapter 11 and verse number 9, Jesus is speaking, and he says, "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." Let's read that out loud together. What do you say? "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock, and it shall be opened unto you." I'd like to ask you this simple question. I hope not to take too long. I'd like for us to pray again, have time to reach out to the Lord. But here's the question. Do you need it enough to knock? Do you need it enough to knock? Let's ask the Lord to speak to us right now. Lord Jesus, I believe in you. To speak to our hearts through your word, to help us, God. Hallelujah! 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 of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Praise God. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you to those that came yesterday for our prayer walk. We didn't walk very far because we had the funeral and other things, but we did pray for our community and actually prayed for some of the cards that you're holding in your hand, that whoever you gave them to, that the power of God would move mightily. We prayed with faith. Not just faith like you read about in the Bible, but faith on the second row. She prayed for a lot of those cards that God would use when you give that card to somebody. I think that's awesome. Amen. But back in the old days, when I was younger, we were not so subtle about inviting people to church. And when we had outreach on a Saturday, this sounds crazy, I know, but we actually would go into neighborhoods and walk up to doors of people we did not know. And we would knock on the door and hope that they would come, and then we would invite them to church. And there was a time, believe it or not, when people actually would open the door and say thank you, no thank you, whatever the case, but at least they would open the door, and that's certainly not the case anymore. I got to tell you, when I was a kid, I wasn't as bold as some of the Johnny Bibbs among us. You know, when I come up to the door, I was like, I was hoping to the Lord that nobody would hear my knock, or I might have to talk to somebody. Now we just put a little door hanger on there, so don't be afraid. You don't have to knock unless you're willing and bold and kind, and you brush your teeth. If you don't brush your teeth, we don't want you knocking on them doors. In fact, if you don't brush your teeth, don't tell them you're from Heaven View, because you're not helping us out at all. But I think it's so important that we are aware that Jesus has called us to knock. And it can't be one of those little knocks like I used to give where I just kind of touch it and split. He promises us that if we need something from him, if we ask, we will receive. If we seek, we will find. And if we knock, it shall be opened unto you. And without question, and I don't understand every detail about it, but I know we are at a crossroads as a church. I really feel like God used Brother Whitehart last Sunday, and then on Wednesday we had a guest that had no idea, don't even know who Brother Whitehart is, never talked to him in his life, but this particular minister was used in the gifts of the Spirit, and the word that came forth was, we are at a crossroads. And so I feel very strongly that as we have been talking about open doors, that God is trying to get a message to this church and to individuals in particular, that he has purpose for us and he has power for us in these last days. And so we must make a decision. We can walk through the open door, and we can see the glory of God as never before, or we can stand in the place where we are and become distracted by the cares of life, or perhaps even a lust for things. And we will become self-absorbed, and we will ultimately self-destruct. Can I predict that there will come a time, and I believe the time is now, when you really just can't show up on Sunday and kind of check the box, I was in church, and then just kind of move on. I believe that things are starting to unravel in this particular generation, and God is helping our church to understand that he is coming soon. And because he's coming soon, 1 Corinthians says that there is a great door and effectual door that is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. These are the last days. And there are some crazy things happening in the earth. In fact, Jesus prophesied that there would come a time when there would be distress of nations with perplexity. He even said that men's hearts would be failing them for fear, for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. You don't have to raise your hand, but there are people in this sanctuary that are wise enough and in tune enough with current events to really scratch your head and wonder, God, what's going to happen next? And that's the kind of time that Jesus predicted when he so told us to be ready for the last days. In fact, it's during that occasion that he said, this is Luke 21, verse 28, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Jesus is coming. And I don't want to speak callously regarding some that very recently have left loved ones, but I want everyone to know, if you've lost a loved one and you're ready to meet the Lord, Jesus is coming soon, and you will be reunited with those that you love, because these are the last days. Praise the name of the Lord. Back in July, one of many terrorist attacks that happened throughout the world, there was an explosion, or there was an attack in Bangladesh, and it happened just a couple of blocks from where our missionaries live, and they have been in this little cafe many occasions. In fact, the missionary son lost two of his friends in this very attack, and so they were impacted very directly by this particular terrorist incident. And so they were interviewed on the news, and they said, aren't you afraid to remain in Bangladesh, even with all of this terrorism? And the Corbins were able to speak up. In fact, Brother Corbin was quoted on the news as saying, our reason for being here is greater than our fear. My dear brothers and sisters, Jesus has not left his church on the earth in these last days just so that we might suffer. Absolutely not. He brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He didn't save us just to put us through suffering, but he has left us here to be a light that shines in a dark place. And the only reason why we remain on this earth in the midst of the terrorism, in the midst of the confusion, is because Jesus is coming soon, and we've got to tell somebody. It sounds old-fashioned, but you know, Calvary is still the only hope for this messed up world. I know it sounds like I'm just an old man screaming, but the cross is the only solution for the nations of the earth. In fact, I know it sounds crazy, but Jesus is still the answer for every individual that's frustrated and fearful. And we are here on this planet to share Jesus with somebody. In Acts chapter 14, Paul and Barnabas, they've gone out and they preached the gospel. They've impacted many souls. They're returning to Antioch, and they're given the testimony of what Jesus has done through their efforts. Look at verse 27. It says, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Now you mark it down wherever you keep that list of things that pastor says that sounds crazy, but eventually it happens just the way it was preached. In these last days, God will give Heaven View this testimony. God will give every believer that's ready for his coming this testimony. Now, I want to read it again from a different translation. I want you to put yourself into the experience that these disciples had. It says, on arrival, they got the church together and they reported on their trip, telling in detail how God had used them to throw the door of faith wide open so people of all nations could come streaming in. We are the generation that will see the greatest harvest of souls in the history of humanity. And when we walk through the door that is open for us, the lost will walk through the door that is open for them. You will come to service after service and you will say, "Pastor, let the church know what happened to me at work, what happened to me at school. I walked through an open door to share my faith, and the door swung open wide. So one of my coworkers wants to have the Holy Ghost, and one of my school friends is ready to be baptized in the name of Jesus." Praise God. Not all moments are created equal. This is our time. It kept ringing at the funeral yesterday. I don't know if I got the words just right, but now it's your turn. Now it's your turn. I look to this congregation, and I want you to know what you've read in the Bible. Now it's your turn. What you've heard in the lives of other people that have kept faith in God in the midst of all kinds of heartaches. Now it's your turn. One great writer said it this way. Listen to this quote. He said, "One of the illusions of life is that the present hour is not the critical, decisive hour." And he went on to say, "Write it on your heart that every day is the best day of the year." One of the ways that Satan would like to deceive every person that's in this sanctuary today is to give you the illusion that this time that we're living in is not the most critical time. It's not the most decisive time. It's not the most important time to live for Jesus. It's not the most urgent time to share your faith or invite people to church. But I want to preach to you from the Word of God that now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we had believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. If you've just gotten in the church in the last few weeks or month, you ought to thank God, because these are the last days and you got in just the nick of time. Jesus is coming soon. Doors are opening wide for the church to reach the lost. And preachers and churches are focused. The message is clear. We must be ready. A great awakening is coming for those individuals and churches that are ready. Revival and then rapture. It's an open door. We walk through it, and the lost comes through in scores of numbers that we have never imagined. And then we are caught up to meet the Lord in the air. It's here. It's here. It's now. It's our time. Amen. That's why a few weeks ago, I was impacted by one of our young preachers here when he began to quote from Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, he said, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, withal praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I also am in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." Paul said, "I am sitting here in jail because I was preaching the gospel. But I do have one prayer request. It's not for a nicer cell with a color TV. No, I don't need that. What I need is for you to pray for me, that I would have a boldness to speak the gospel, because a door is open to me. And I want to reach souls with what little life I have left. And so the question is, as that gets a hold of us as individuals, as that gets a hold of us as a church, and in the context of Jesus saying, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, and knock. Just knock and it shall be open. And the question is, do you need it enough to knock? You've heard me preach for about 15 minutes about people that need God. And are you sitting here today with something swelling in your soul that says, I need that. I need to be a part of that. I need to be involved in the mission of the church in these last days. And so I could be distracted by my own cares and my own complaints, but I've got to knock. I've got to knock because a door has to open. 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 And I need it enough to knock. Amen. So let me say, this that I'm sharing with you today, and I know we have guests, and for guests, you might think, man, preacher, you are a million miles away from what I need right now. Well, just hang on just a few minutes. I'm getting to you. But to this church family, to those of you that are Christians, how many of you, even if you don't go to this church, and some that do go to this church, you would consider yourself a Christian? Just raise your hand. You're going to see there's a bunch of us. Just wave your hand. Okay? All right. So as you put your hands down, would it be safe to say that if I'm speaking to Christians, I'm speaking to you? Even if you don't go to church here, even if I'm not your pastor, but to all of us as Christians, this must become a higher priority than it is right now. One of our greatest soul winners in this church, and I don't want to embarrass him, and I don't even like to use that terminology, but I'm just trying to make a little emphasis here because it's the most recent testimony we have. Brother Everhart pouring himself into a man, talking about the Lord, and a lot of times just listening to him talk about the Lord. And this man was a great Christian, but he needed more of Jesus, and he had to grow in his faith. In fact, even though he had served the Lord for years, he had never been baptized in Jesus' name. And so year after year, I don't know how long you've known him, but there's been a lot of investment, a lot of seed sown, a lot of talking about the Lord, a lot of encouraging him to come to church. All of that culminated in Brother Tony Everhart baptizing that man in Jesus' name on Wednesday night. You know what? It took a lot of effort. It had to be a priority. It was something that consumed you. And so what I'm saying, whether you're Brother Everhart who just got a victory on Wednesday night, or you're someone that's never even invited someone to church, wherever you are on that scale, this must become a higher priority for us because these are the last days and God himself wants to partner with you to reach lost souls, your loved ones, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, those at school. God is opening a door for you, and when you walk through the door, they will walk through the door, but you've got to make it a high priority. Jesus, open a door so I can speak about you. Jesus, open a door so I can speak about the gospel. Jesus, open a door so I can speak about salvation. Jesus, open a door so I can speak about your coming. Jesus, open a door. Pastor, what are you doing? That's all I'm doing. I'm knocking at the door. I'm saying, Jesus, you said if I would knock, you would open. And if I would go through the open door, scores of lost souls would walk through the door and come to know you. Amen. And so Jesus, Luke 11 here, this is our text. He's with his disciples, and they say, teach us how to pray. We started the service reading Matthew's account of this account from Luke. Many of you were quoting, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Or as it is in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ wants to enter into a partnership with each of us, individually and collectively. And together he wants us to accomplish his will in these last days. How many of you feel like you'd be a part of that? Wouldn't you want to be a part of that? How many of you would just think, don't even respond, but think, maybe that's why I'm here. Maybe that's why he saved me. Maybe that's why I'm a Christian. So I can partner with Jesus to reach lost souls. Now look at the very next verse. I know most of y'all could quote those few verses, but look at the very next verse. Jesus said, verse number 5, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey. He has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. Think about it. Think about you in this story. And we're going to read the next few verses in a moment, but I want to tell you who you are in this story. You're the person whose friend has come in the middle of their journey, and they need something to make it on their way. But you don't have what they need. So you go to your friend. You know who your friend is? I am a friend of God. That's who your friend is. And you go to your friend, and you say, friend, I need some bread. Because a friend of mine has come and I've got nothing to give my friend. I can tell he needs you. I can tell he's got to have something more for his life, but I don't have it. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to you, God. You're my friend. Give me what I need so I can give my friend what he or she needs so that they can make it all the way. That's where we're at. Let's read. And so, verse 7, and from within, the answer shall come. Now, in this story, think of Jesus answering you this way. Trouble me not. The door is now shut. And my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. Think about the Lord saying, I know there's some needy people, but a bunch of my children are already asleep. They're saved. They're okay. We don't have time for anybody else. Can you imagine Jesus saying that? Jesus is telling this story, and he's saying, I can hear you knocking, but I got all these children ready to go to heaven. I got all these children already think that they're saved. I can't open the door. Let's read a little bit more. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, that's a Bible word that just means shameless persistence. Because of his shameless persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. So when Brother Everhart was delivering mail, and he come across Mark, and he knew that Mark was needing some bread, more of the Word of God, more of the truth that sets men free. Brother Everhart knew he didn't have it in himself. He's just another guy like all of us. But he knew he had a friend. And so he went to that friend. Hey, I got a guy here that needs some bread. I don't have what he needs, but Jesus, you have what he needs. And Jesus, he was testing Brother Everhart's faith. And he said, look around, Brother Everhart. There's about 220 people in here. We baptized a whole bunch of people already. Do we really need to baptize somebody else? I mean, especially on a Wednesday night. That means we're all going to have to stay here a little bit later until that happens. And so Jesus kind of adopted the attitude of his children for a few moments and said, oh, they're all asleep. We're getting the Word of God today, aren't we? We're getting the Word of God today, aren't we? And so what did Brother Tony start doing? He just started knocking a little bit louder. He just started knocking a little bit louder. How did he do it? He came into the prayer room and he said, oh God, I've witnessed to Mark, but he still won't come to church. Oh God, I've witnessed to Mark. Now he's coming to church, but he hasn't been baptized in Jesus' name. So I'm just going to keep knocking. I'm just going to keep praying. I'm just going to keep believing. And the Bible says, because of his ability to have a shameless persistence, eventually, the door swung open wide, and Brother Tony walked through it. And look what Jesus said. He said, give him whatever he needs. In other words, Brother Tony, I know you baptized one just here the other day, but before Jesus comes, you can personally baptize 1,000 because you can have as much as you need. You can have as much as you need. Now, my brothers and sisters, and I won't be much longer, but it's in this context that we read our text. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be open. Let's thank the Lord for his presence and his spirit that is speaking so beautifully, so powerfully. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And so I say again, We are at a crossroads. Because we have heard the cry of the Spirit for so long. And yet, we have approached the door. You can't hardly hear the knocking, can you? The cares of life, the lust for things. God, sometimes when it comes to walking through a door on my job, the knocking's a little bit louder. Sometimes, God, when I find out that I'm sick and the doctor gives me a bad report, the knocking's just a little bit louder. But Jesus, I've got to confess, when my friends are looking at me because they want some bread, and I'll go to you and say, God, would you save my coworker? Would you save my school friend? The door doesn't really open, God. So I just kind of chalk it up to, I did pray for him. I did invite him. That's me, at least. Maybe that's some of you. But Jesus is saying when that happens, that's not the time to just check them off your list. That's the time for shameless persistence. That's the time to say, God, I'm not going to let it go until you reach my friend. I'm not going to stop praying until I see them repent of their sins. I'm not going to stop believing until they're baptized in Jesus' name. I'm not going to stop knocking until I see them filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. I'm going to keep giving out the cards. I'm going to keep telling them about church. I'm going to keep inviting them. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep believing because Jesus, I need it bad enough to knock for it. I need to see a soul saved. I need to see a loved one reached. I need to see revelation come. And so I will knock. I will knock until you open the door and you give me everything I need. Not for myself, but for a friend in need of salvation, revelation, truth. And you say in Jesus' name, oh my, oh my. It's midnight. It's midnight. Our friends are coming. Our friends are coming. And we have nothing to give them unless we knock with shameless persistence. Unless we knock with shameless persistence. I heard a preacher just a couple weeks ago on a Thursday night. He stepped behind a pulpit. And he preached, racing the rapture. And he preached it with so much passion, so much hunger, so much desire. In fact, the second night, he preached about this great awakening. He said, the rapture's coming. But as it comes, there will be an awakening. But he was trying to get the church to capture his passion for knocking, for knocking. We got to have revival. We got to have souls. We got to have baptisms. We've got to have Holy Ghost. We've got to have miracles. He was knocking with a shameless persistence. And here's the thing that amazes me about that. Since May until just a couple of Sundays ago, this pastor had seen 285 and 56 people received the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues for the first time in just his one church. But he wasn't just sitting back and falling asleep. Oh, we got such a good church here. Man, we got it going on. Oh, no. He was so shameless in his persistence of knocking. There must be another friend. There must be another coworker. There must be another neighbor. There must be another somebody at school. There must be somebody that God, you can open a door and I can reach them. It's getting a hold of me today. I hope it gets a hold of you today. Do you need it enough to knock? Do you need it enough to knock? Come on, church family. I beg you, every day, find a place in your home. Come on, church family. From 7 to 8 o'clock on a Monday night, can you just help us? Can you need it enough to knock? What about 7 o'clock on a Wednesday night, 30 minutes before Bible study? I know some of you might have to skip dinner, but how about need it enough to knock? We've got to have revival. We've got to have souls. We've got to see more. Do we need it enough to knock?
Do we need it enough to knock?
Do we need it enough to knock? How about Sunday morning? I know so many of you are involved in ministry that you can't be at church in the chapel when we pray at 9 o'clock. But I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to start opening the building at 8 o'clock. So those of you in the choir and those of you that have other responsibilities, you can come a few minutes early and you can say, I need it enough to knock. I need it enough to knock. It can't be another choir song. It can't be another service. It can't be another sermon. It can't be business as usual. I need it enough to knock. This would be a great time for you to say, God, help the guests because they're freaking out right now. To all of our guests, please understand that every now and then, there's a Sunday that we have to make sure that we are not just going through the motions. And if God is speaking to us about opening a door, something inside of us is going to be shameless in our persistence about knocking, 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 knocking. After all, Jesus said, pray ye, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth labor. Don't you think God could just snap his fingers and save everybody in the world? I mean, he already died for us. He did the hard part. But he has determined that he wants to partner with us. He wants to link with us. And so he needs us to do some knocking, some knocking, some knocking, until it's shameless, until it's persistent, until we know, wait a minute, we got everything we need. Oh my goodness, look what God is doing. It's like they're lined up to be baptized. They're lined up to speak in tongues. They're lined up to be discipled. It's like we walk through the door and now they're running through the door because somebody realized my highest priority is not my title or position at Heaven View. I want to knock. I want to knock so that one of my friends can be rescued. Can you say in Jesus' name? I want to read one more scripture, and I appreciate your patience with me today. This is that scripture from Job. Job 42 and verse number 10. and I close. Can you help me with that? And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Can you give me that church card that's on the floor right there? Thank you. If you got a church card, I want you to hold it up for just a minute. Just hold it up for just a minute. Just want to make sure you got one. Take a look at the picture on the front. That's where you are today. Or you can put your hand down, but just hold on to that card. To all of our guests, to every saint of God that's here, most of you know about Job. Man, he lost everything. But look at how he got his miracle. The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. You know, after losing all of his livestock, all of his possessions, all of his family, after losing his health, don't you know he had the right to do some knocking? God, what's going on here? I need a miracle in my family. I need a miracle on my job. I need a miracle in my health. That's not what happened. The miracle came when he prayed for his friends. When he started doing some knocking for his friends. That's why I can say today, if you're sick in your body, if you've got some kind of situation on your job, if you're facing trouble in your family, if you will turn your eyes towards someone that is lost and begin to pray for them, begin to do some knocking for them while you are praying for your friends, while you are reaching for lost loved ones, while you are reaching out to invite someone to church, while you are knocking, God will take care of your needs while you're interceding for their needs. That's in the Bible. And so everybody take the card. And I want you to think of somebody you can give this card to that needs Jesus, that needs a miracle. And you can say, I was at a church on Sunday, and they told me that if I would give this card to you and you would bring it back and come to church with me, or even just show up on your own, God would answer prayer. God would do the supernatural. God would give you a victory. If you've got someone in mind that you can give this card to, you may know their name because they're a best friend, or they just be somebody you saw and you thought, man, if I see them again, I'm going to give them this card. If you've got that card and you know who that person is, would you lift it up so we can see if ever, how many people got a friend in mind? That's quite a lot. I know it's not everybody, but it's quite a lot. Thank you. Now you can put your hands down. Now right where you're seated, I want you to start doing some knocking right now. I want you to intercede on behalf of that friend right now. I want you to pray on behalf of that friend right now. It may be a coworker. It may be a neighbor. It may be somebody you've invited to church dozens of times. It may be somebody you don't even know. But right now, you know what you're going to do? I'm going to knock. I'm going to knock. I'm going to knock because a friend of mine is coming and he needs something from me and I don't have anything to give them, but I've got a friend named Jesus, and I'm going to go to Jesus, and I'm going to knock with shameless persistence. I'm going to knock with shameless persistence until I can give this card to somebody and a miracle happen in their life. Cut out of- Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, if you've just done a little bit of knocking, whoever you are, if you've just done a little bit of knocking, sometime tomorrow, between the time you get out of bed to the time you go back to sleep at night, find a few minutes somewhere in your day and do a little bit more knocking. I don't know what day you're going to give them the card. I don't know when you're going to see them. Between now and the day you give them that card and say, man, I'd love for you to come to church with me. Find another time in your day, maybe the next day, maybe later on in that same day in the evening, but just do a little bit more knocking. Why? You want to show the Lord, I'm going to be shamelessly persistent until I see my loved one receive the miracle of salvation. The miracle until I see my coworker repentant of their sins and baptized in Jesus' name. And after you give them the card, the very next morning, you let the Lord hear your voice as you just say, God, I'm still knocking because I gave them the card, but they hadn't come yet. What am I saying? I'm saying the Lord has promised us if we will knock, it will be open. And not only that, he said he would give us everything we need. So here's what I want us to do. I want us to stand. Thank you for your patience. I know this has been unusual. This has been a little bit different. Probably for some, this has been crazy. But if you need a miracle today, whether you're a part of this church family or you're just passing through and you're saying, man, get me out of here, before you run out the door, if you need a miracle today from the Lord, we don't have to ask you anything about your personal life. You don't have to promise to join the church. Whether you're a part of this church family or you're a guest, we have been promised that if we will knock, the door will be opened and he will give us everything that we need. He will give us everything that we need. Carlos, would you help me for just a minute? I'm not going to embarrass you or nothing. If you haven't met Carlos, you need to meet him and Kaylin. But if you'll come to the altar today, if you'll come to the altar today, here's what we're going to do. I think this worked for Summer last week. Just going to put a hand on a shoulder and say, Jesus, whatever the need is, meet the need. And then all we're going to do is we're going to just keep knocking. Come on, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I believe you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. And all you have to do is just in your own way, just worship the Lord and thank him for the miracle. Does that make sense? So we're not going to scare anybody. We're not going to give anybody the pat down or the rub down. We're not going to force you to join the church. But we're going to do some knocking right now. We're going to do some knocking right now. Thank you, Carlos, for helping me. I promise you, Jesus is ready to heal somebody right now. Jesus is ready to fill somebody right now. Jesus is ready to transform somebody right now. Who wants to come and just say, okay, Pastor, I'll let you pray for me. Who wants to come and say, okay, church, I'll let you pray for me. Anybody that needs an answer to prayer. It's not in me, but I know how to do some knocking. It's not in me, but I know how to seek God right now. It's not in me. I'm nothing. I'm nobody. But I know that if we'll knock, he will give us everything that we need. Everybody's welcome to come right now. Don't clog up the aisles, but come as close to the front as you can. And we're going to see God do some miracles right now. In Jesus' name.